Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Josh.
And I'm Jake.
Didn't mean to catch you in a yawn there.
I wasn't yawning.
You're right, no one will ever know.
I ate the yawn before it could interrupt me.
Today we're watching episode 466, Power Rangers Ninja Storm, episode 8, Nowhere to Grow.
It aired March 29th, 2003, written by Steve Slavkin, directed by Andrew Merrifield. Nowhere to Grow. Sounds like a horror movie about plant monsters.
Yeah.
Or a Disney movie about a tree who just trying to find his place in the world.
Doesn't want to grow up. That tree is a Toys R Us kid.
He's a giraffe, it turns out.
There's a million toys at Toys R Us that he can play with.
It's a giraffe raised by trees.
You know, that oddly is fitting. It makes a weird bit of sense.
It makes a weird kind of sense. Anyway, TM, original character, do not steal. If you're new here, please don't steal from us or anyone, mm-hmm. except for, like, rich people. This is jokes. You can't use this as deposition. What we do is we pause the recording. I forgot where I was. We pause the recording. We go watch an episode of Power Rangers. We come back and talk about it. You can follow along if you're on Netflix or the DVDs, and you should, because Ninja Storm owns bones, and if you're unwilling to watch a good show, then I don't think I can help you.
Please continue to
listen to what we're about to talk about.
Yeah.
Even if you don't want to watch it, but
you should.
I feel like you could do something nice for yourself and watch like a cool, fun season of Power Rangers so far. You put it in your pick three that I saw the other day. It was one of the ones that you would keep
out of the nine that were available in the
some of them I didn't even know what they were
from. I was like I think that's Jungle Fury, the one with the sunglasses morphers.
Yeah, they all look like dorks.
And I was like, I'm not picking that one. I wanted to pick Mystic Force because the picture looked good, but that I think is just what Mystic Force is a series of good looking pictures.
It's a lot of good aesthetics. And then Itana really likes it, so I mean there's got to be something there, but you know, I guess we'll find out eventually. Anyway, we're going to go find out what Nowhere to Grow is about right now.
Ninja Storm Ranger Form. Go, Power Rangers, go, Ninja Storm, let's go!
And we're back, and we just watched Nowhere to Grow, and unfortunately, there were zero giraffes.
None. Missed opportunity.
Not
missed
a
opportunity.
Single one.
But missed opportunity for us to sue them for stealing our ideas 17 years ago.
But not a missed opportunity for us to make Nowhere to Grow the Pixar movie. Pixar, please pay us for this idea. We'll just give it to you for a large but reasonable sum of money.
Hey, do you want to know something wild?
Yes.
Because I just did some weird math in my head that Ninja Storm was 17 years ago, and I'm 34, so Ninja Storm was exactly half of my life ago. But that's not the weird thing. The weird thing The weird thing is we are farther removed right now from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers than that 70s show was from it the year it was set.
Well, you know, Josh, time is a cruel mistress. She just keeps marching on, turning us all into skeletons and mummy dust. So, heyjakeandjosh.com is our website. You can go there. You can go listen to old episodes. There will be more forthcoming, but currently is up through Lost Galaxy. You can also listen to the classic feeds, which are updated up through Terp. Yes, because you still need to put In Space on Classic Feed 2. Once things calm down a little.
If I was lucky enough to have to stay home, all this would be done. But instead, I have to keep going to work.
Yep. Same.
And it sucks and it's crazy. And I just, after I do it, I don't want to do anything else. So I don't.
Yeah, we recorded the first episode like 3.5 weeks ago. And we're like, hopefully by the time this airs, everyone will be fine. And here we are. It's maybe a little worse, if anything. And we're like, okay, if everyone could just stay home, please. And not come to a retail store or a grocery store.
They can't do it.
Unless you don't have anything to eat in your house.
They can't do it.
I know. Anyway, for us, wash your hands and please stay home. You can email us at littleidiots.morphinggrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at morphinggrid. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Google Play. We're on Podknife and Podbay and Podbaby and Podalizer.com, where you sprinkle fertilizer on your podcast and then grow up to a big, beautiful podcast.
Yeah. The fertilizer is poop of other podcasts.
Okay, so
the fertilizer is rabbits.
Well,
which is podcast poop, I think.
Can I tell? Hey, we haven't done this in a minute. Can I tell you that I almost downloaded every single Pacific Northwest Stories thing again? Did I tell you that already?
I think you tweeted it.
I definitely thought about doing it.
I heard or saw it somewhere, yes.
I don't know if it was on the podcast. I don't remember anything we say on the show for the most part. So, but I didn't. I resisted the urge. I was very strong. And then I got a targeted ad for a new podcast in the same like serial, like real format called The Left Right Game. So I got that. It stars Tessa Thompson, a real actress. And it's about a spooky game where you take a left and then a right and then a left and then a right. You take your first left and your first right and you keep doing that and you go into a different dimension.
Okay. So it's like Yes Man, except you can only go left or right, whichever one you did not previously go.
Yeah. You take the next one. Whatever you just did, you do the opposite. And you basically zigzag your way into a different dimension. And it's weird. And not as stupid as I was expecting, but still pretty stupid. Still pretty dumb. Anyway, go check out The Left-Right Game. That's the thing I'm poisoning you all with this time, unless you want to go listen to rabbits again, a thing I recommend doing.
But it is the fertilizer on podalizer.com because it's podcast poop.
See,
rabbits is podcast poop.
I know, but I also just had a good idea for what Podalizer could actually be. But we've already talked about how rabbits is podcast poop, and I don't think we can go back to a good idea now. So
no, it's only bad ideas here on the Warping Grid.
Bad ideas from here on out. Anyway, you can leave us a rating review in any of those places. You can also leave the Left-Right Game review, I guess. Tell them Jake sent you. They'll know what it means.
Yeah, you'll get 10% off your first episode.
They are sponsored, and the first thing is like, this is an audio experience, so if you're driving, be careful. It's really pretentious.
It's a podcast. Don't call it an audio experience. Don't call it television for your ears.
No, it's just a podcast. it's just a podcast. It's the same as what we're doing, basically. Anyway. We're also on Patreon, patreon.com/heyjakeandjosh. In the fourth episode of this show, you heard us read a list of 147 of our patrons, which we recorded a couple minutes ago, and it was 20 minutes long recording time. So we'll see how long it goes edited. But thank you all very much for supporting the show. And if you would like to help support the show as well, we would really appreciate it. I know these times are rough, so if you can't, don't feel bad. And if you got to change your pledge or delete it, we understand. You got to take care of you.
Yeah. No hard feelings. These are strange times.
They are very strange times. But for those of you who do keep pledging to the show, we very much appreciate it. Josh, this is a Monday episode because we're only doing one episode this week, which also kind of makes it a Friday episode. But we don't have any new emails, and the show has only one episode has aired since we've started recording, so we don't have any like anything. We did get
real
a tweet
feedback.
We did get a tweet of some things that we were close but wrong about.
Perfect,
as is often the case.
On brand.
Yeah. And so it's from Cameron. Cameron says, "I'm so happy that you guys enjoyed Ninja Storm. For now, a few things to note." The city of the season is called Blue Bay Harbor. We did figure that out eventually.
I think it takes a couple more episodes, but we did get there.
It's in the fours or fives. We figure out what it's called. The one you were calling Sergey is actually pronounced Zergane, which we figured out at some point within the last couple episodes. And he is essentially the Goldar of Lothar's army. Not Luthor. It's not.
Lex.
It's not Superman's.
His spaceship
friend.
Is not the Lex Express.
The Lex Express. Then the monster they fought at the end of the episode, at the end of the first episode with the Kelzaks, wasn't Zergane. It was a one-off monster who the credits list as Blueface. Yeah, not a great name to start your new season. I couldn't tell it was a different character.
I don't even remember what it looks like because I'm pretty sure it was Zergane.
I'm pretty confident it was just Zergane. They blew him up, but then he was fine because he's a main monster.
Yeah, you gotta blow him up twice or throw him into space.
And then finally, if you enjoy Lothar now, all I'll say is, trust me, he gets better. So it's only up from here for Lothar, whom I already love deeply. Lothar rules, and I feel like for the rest of the show, we're going to be comparing, like, a lot of people to Lothar.
Probably.
Because, like, my top villains are, like, Rita, Astronema, and Divatox, and Zed. Right? Because,
mm-hmm.
like, Banshira sucked.
Yeah, Banshira was bad. The Machine Empire isn't great.
They're not great. Drakina was pretty cool. She got done dirty, I think, but she was pretty cool.
But she wasn't, like, a big bad until the very end of her season.
She was the big bad for, like, half of it, but then there was this bit where Captain Mutiny was the big bad, and that guy just...
Yeah.
He's a pirate ship.
There's Scorpius, who sucked also.
That guy sucked also.
He was just a big, gross bug who shot a kid.
He shot a kid. And then, I don't even remember who the last season was. Master Org, not good. Master Org, also not good. And then, that's it, right? That's everybody. But I feel like Lothar is like the first like great.
Did you say Rancic?
I forgot Rancic. Rules. How did I forget Rancic? Look, sometimes you think about all the bad ones and you go, "Were there any good ones?" And your brain says no, but you forget about the good ones like Rancic from two seasons ago. So I feel like Lothar is like in that stratosphere of like great villains. And yeah.
Top half of the list. He's on the good list.
Someday we'll rank all the villains, but we'll need to like watch the shows for that because I feel like it would not be fair to rank them based on what they look like.
Yeah, that we'll rank the villains when we finish.
When we're done. So look forward to that in
never.
I don't know, 8 years? Never?
Because
yeah.
There's always new Power Rangers.
There is always new Power Rangers. Or we can just start doing what we do with the Rangers at the end of the season. We'll just make a list of all the current villains.
We could do that.
And then we will figure out every season we'll pop the new big bad on there as it goes. But yeah, thank you very much, Cameron. Josh, do you want to jump in? Do you want to talk about Nowhere to Grow?
In a minute.
Do you want to yawn for like 6 minutes? That's a long yawn, bud.
Well, it had to ramp up.
had to skateboard up your throat.
Had to catch the gnar? I don't know. Let's just talk about the episode.
Shred the gnar. You shred the gnar.
But before you can shred it, you got to catch it.
No, that's just a tasty wave up until you're shredding it.
You can't shred if there's no gnar.
It's not a gnar until you're shredding it. It's a chicken and egg situation, Josh. We start off with Dustin filming a skate video for Shane. Shane's doing skateboard tricks, and Dustin is filming it at night. And boy, have I never felt more seen by Power Rangers in my life.
Tori's in the van, like they're doing a heist. And she's like, come on, we gotta go. Get in the van, we gotta go.
I got homework, and Sensei will be very upset that we're out so late.
Sensei's gonna hamster kick us if we don't get out of here.
As we've seen, his tiny feet are very powerful. He jumped off Dustin's head, and it hurt him. But she has homework, too, and I'm assuming it's ninja homework because they are – I am still taking it as they are on summer vacation.
If it is regular homework, we need to see them in regular school very soon, please.
Yes. Also, if it's regular homework, then maybe she has summer work. Like, how smart kids had to do homework for the next year during the summer?
Hey, you know what's funny about that is dumb kids have to do schoolwork in the summer, too.
Well, yes, but see, if you can hit that middle spot.
Nothing. Your summer's
where
off.
Where I lived.
That's where I was.
Summer's all yours, baby.
I am a average at best student.
I rated very low in my overall class score, but I do have more Twitter followers than probably all of them, so... Who's really winning, Conan High?
Got him.
None of you host a Power Rangers podcast that's pretty successful. You know, I'm not sure how many people listen to it, but it seems like a lot. She also says, also Cam will be mad, because Shane's like, just like, let me land this trick. I almost had it. And she's like, okay, well, Cam's gonna be mad that you took his night vision camera. And I remember my my friend Jacob had, we had cameras all around the 2003 to 4 to 5 to 6 to 7 area.
Well, yeah, because you had to have a camera because it wasn't just on your phone.
Yeah, exactly.
If it was like, this is a 0.3 megapixel camera.
Yeah, you can take one photo and it is an impressionist version of whatever.
It's basically a Game Boy camera. We put it in a phone.
I think the Game Boy camera was better than some of the early cell phone cameras.
It at least had games on it. You could play.
And it could tell movement. And I don't think a lot of phone cameras really could. We had a camera, and I feel like that was probably 2005, because Jacob had a Sony Handycam that had just night vision. You clicked a thing, and night vision turned on. So this must be like the generation right before where you had to get a separate camera to do night stunts.
And Cam invented it, and probably Cam built it himself.
Probably. He does email them a sword later, so who knows what can happen. And so he's like, all right, just one more. She's like, whatever, one more trick, fine. So he's like, all right. And he goes back to trying to land his trick. And Dustin just like moves the camera away. And she's like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, you don't want the Kelzaks in your shot. Like, that would ruin the whole thing. And Shane's like, what? Come on, Tori, come on, let's go. Dustin, like, we need to go. And I just like that he's like, ah, Kelzaks. Like, it's already kind of like really commonplace to him where he's like, ah, there they are again.
Yeah.
Ruining our skate video. We're never going to get into Thrasher magazine now.
How are we going to hide the secret tape if there's no sweet tricks on it?
If it's just a bunch of Kelzaks running around. So they give chase. The Zekies run into a park or a field or something, and they plant some seeds that look like monster seeds.
Yeah, they're huge.
They're like the size of a golf ball.
And spiny.
Yes. And apparently they fart.
And they fart. And it smells like Dustin when they fart.
And it smells like sweaty, stank Dustin. Dirt bike smelling ass Dustin. And I love that Dustin at that point is just like, yeah, they do. So they morph. They start fighting. And it's, you know, it's going fine because they're just beating up some Zackies. But then in jumps, and I did not catch her name. It's like Flora Babushka or whatever.
Yeah, it's long and obnoxious.
It's
and
like,
I don't, maybe they got some criticism before this episode. I don't know how they would have, but in the past, like, where are we on episode 8 now? Like seven episodes, you've had to like really listen to catch a monster's name if they say it at all.
Yeah, and this and time she's like, my name is Flora Babushkamore.
Yeah, they like slam the brakes on the episode so she can slowly yell her name at Shane.
And it was so long and weird that I don't even remember what it was. I call her Flirty Flower.
It was, yeah, she's, her voice freaks me out because there's no filters on it. So it's just it's just a people voice coming out of
like
a flower.
It's just like
monster.
A regular lady voice coming out of there. And horny.
There's a few times where I was like, why is Tori saying that? And then I was like, she's not. It's the flower monster.
It's a flower. She is both horny and thorny because she is the flirty flower. And I think she wants to have sex with Shane. She jumps on him right away and is just aggressive in her flirting and then blasts him with a laser. And when they regroup, she like shoots out this pollen that hits them all and they kind of explode and like get shot backwards. And I was like, are they all poisoned now? Are they all going to be pollen zombies, or maybe they're going to be horny now because of the pollen?
their eyes are really itchy and their noses won't stop running.
Yeah. And that would be funny as well.
Flirty Flower's name is Floribundicus.
Okay. That's probably a really great joke if you're a botanist.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know. We can ask one later in the episode.
Oh, God. That Goosebumps-ass exposition character. So they leave because... Okay, so she turns around and she's like, Flora out or whatever.
She makes a lot of flower and plant puns. Just like the last monster made a bunch of whatever fish. They were puns.
Was it a fish?
A frog.
Frog. It was a frog.
I don't know if that was the last one, but the frog monster was definitely making froggy puns like crazy.
Yeah. So she disappears, and then Cam calls, and he's like, hey, you're busted. You need to come back to Ninja Ops. And they're like, ugh, okay, you got us. So then we cut to there. The sensei's like, I want the seeds, and I want to know why you were out so late on a school night. And they're like, well, we're teenagers, and you're not our dad. It was what they should have said, but instead they were like, here they are, we're sorry.
He kind of is their dad.
A little bit.
Because I think they live there, until I'm shown otherwise.
Well, if they lived there, they wouldn't be late every day.
But they're coming from work at the Shake Shack. What is that place called?
Storm Chargers. They don't sell food there at all.
Shake Shack
for maybe
is from
some
Rocket
Mountain
Power,
Dew.
Isn't it?
I think Shake Shack is just a place you can go to eat in the real world.
No, I think Shake Shack was where their dad worked in Rocket Power.
No, I think it's a real world place that you can go to eat at in life now.
Shake Shack, I'm Googling it.
Okay, you're about to find a series of locations of places you can go eat.
Don't allow my current location. I don't need Shake Shack to know where I live.
Do you want
to
tell Shake Shack where you are? Shake Shack can come to you if you want.
Then what was the place in Rocket Power? Keep going. I'll come back.
Okay, yeah. Rocket Power dad work.
Rocket Power Shake Shack.
You're just going to get Shake Shack. And maybe some toys that Shake Shack sold
of
Rocket Power.
It's Shore Shack.
The
Shore Shack Redemption.
They just sell crabs and surfboards there. Josh, it's not shakes at all. So this is when we find out that the seeds stink like Dustin. Also, Shane gets the most in trouble, or maybe not the most in trouble, but it's like directed at him. And Cam's like, I'd hate to be in your skate shoes right now. Oh, melt his ass, Cam. Get him.
Glad I'm not wearing your Vans.
Got him. Did Element make shoes? I bet they did at some point.
I can guarantee that they did, and they looked just like Vans.
Vans are kind of skinny, and I think the Element shoes were big, chonky boys. They were big, wide shoes, so you could hit the whole skateboard on the top.
Yeah, so you had a lot of room on the sides of your feet.
Yeah, to move around in there.
That's what you want out of a shoe is some wiggle room.
Some space to move around. Stretch your toesies out. Stretch out your stretchies.
How else are you going to pop shove it if your feet are locked down in a shoe?
You got these tight, cramped up feet. Be a pop nothing is what that would be. Anyway, so the seeds stink like Dustin, and I do love that Dustin's like, because Tori's like, they smell like Dustin after ninja training, and Dustin's like, yeah, they do.
Yeah, he's like, they totally do.
I smell so bad after ninja training. I train so hard. So then Sensei's like, I know a botanist that's my friend, and you need to go talk to him about these stinky seeds tomorrow and go to bed right now. Go home and go to bed, and then go to see my weird botanist friend tomorrow. As they're leaving, Sensei's like, Cam, be careful what you get involved in. Because Cam says, like, I can go see the botanist.
Yeah, Cam is like, let me go. Like, I want to do something besides sit here and code swords all day.
And also, I'm not an idiot who's proud of how bad he smells. Like these guys are. And then Sensei's like, be careful what you want to get involved in. And he's like, what is that supposed to mean, Dad? And he's like, just do it.
Is this where Cam is like, I want to be a Power Ranger? And his dad is like, no.
No, that's later in the episode. Okay. That's after he gets busted, but that is a focal point. So we cut to the next morning where Cam, this is immediately afterwards, where Cam just goes into the botanist before anybody else.
Yeah, I think it's the next day.
Right away.
Because after he talks to the botanist, the Power Rangers show up to talk to the botanist, and they're like, what the heck? Sensei told him to stay home, but he can't during a global pandemic.
And Tori's like, should we tell Sensei? And Shane is a bro, and he's like, no, because he will get in trouble, and we know what it's like to be in trouble, and we're not snitches.
We're not going
to
tattle on him to our collective father.
We're not snitches. We're not going to tell our guinea pig dad.
But we have to go. We have to go back to when Cam's talking to the.
We need to talk about
this botanist. Because boy, you are right. What a Goosebumps character this guy is. This is the dad from Stay Out of the Basement. And they go back and forth a little bit, and he basically tells Cam about the seeds, because he knows what kind of monster seed they are and what they need to grow.
Yeah, he can just eyeball it. He's like, they're like super Venus flytraps that love to eat everything.
Yeah, but they can only grow with waters with like a certain mineral in it, which grows out on a mountain somewhere around here.
There's a volcanic spring up north or something, like near here.
And he's like, I don't make that hike anymore because I have giant corns to worry about. And then he walks away and there's two big ears of corn behind him. And
like
Cam,
enormous, like,
Cam is like, oh, yeah, I get it. I get the joke you made.
Yeah. And also he does like kind of shuffle away like his feet hurt.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it's a double joke. It's two jokes for the price of one.
He does have feet corns and big corns.
And big corns.
Big corns to make big tortillas. To
big corns, the, big torns.
To eat the big tacos.
Love a big taco. I made tacos the other night. I don't know. I posted a picture of it because I messed up real bad. You know how when you get taco mix, you put the ground beef in, and then you put the taco mix in, and then you put 2/3 of a cup of water?
Yeah.
Well, I realized a little too late that I put in 1 2/3 cup of water, and so essentially I had a big pot of taco soup going. So I had to strain my taco meat in order to get it to edible. So things are pretty good, but they were wet, wet tacos.
Delicious.
Which is not ideal.
That's my favorite descriptor for a taco.
Wet.
Wet.
Love a soggy taco. Love a nice, good ocean burrito.
At the Shore Shack.
At the Shore Shack. Get a crab, get a surfboard, get a wet burrito.
Don't you dare order a shake. You're in the wrong shack, buddy.
You gotta go to that other shack, and we do not speak about them here. Not in Rocket Power Town, no sir. After this whole thing, and this terrible character, he like walks away. He's like, I need to go over here now. So he just walks away. And Cam's like, okay, I'm gonna go up north and get some mineral water for experiments. So he goes to leave. This is when the Rangers pull up and see him. Shane's like, no, we're not gonna get him in trouble because we're not narcs, Tori. And she's like, you're right, sorry. And he's like, okay, I'm gonna go with Cam. I'm gonna follow Cam to make sure he doesn't get in trouble or do something stupid.
Oh,
you
boy.
Go talk to the botanist.
Boy, is he gonna follow Cam.
Yes. There is a big choice that is made at some point that seems like very unnecessary and hard to shoot for no reason that accomplishes nothing except to be like, oh, that's weird. Like, that's all I really got out of it. So Rangers split up. Tori and Dustin go inside. The weird Goosebumps botanist is not there, but in his place are two different lab techs or something. And they happen to look like Mara and Capri with a mustache.
Yeah, I did not tell right away. These are pretty good disguises.
Actually good disguises. So
especially
Mara,
Capri's. I was like, who is that dude?
Yeah. You can see like some pink hairs kind of sticking out, but like it's not like extremely noticeable.
And Mara, it turns out, if you take her big hair and goggles off her head, looks like a completely different person.
Yeah. And so she's got these big goggles that look like bug eyes, right? That's what her regular goggles look like. And I think combined with the two big buns, it's supposed to be like spidery or something.
Yeah.
In this, she has like a headband on that has like magnifying glasses coming out of it that is also antenna. So she's still bug themed.
Yeah.
But not like overtly. But yeah, they look like different people. So like for a second, I was also like, who are these people?
I thought at first Mara was a Flirty Flower in like a human disguise, like in a human form.
Maybe, yeah, that could have played.
But then I saw Capri and I was like, who is that? And I looked a little closer and I was like, is that Capri?
Yeah.
And then I realized that it was also Mara.
And they're like, yeah, he's tied up at the moment, a thing only villains say. And then there's this big flower behind them, and Tori's like, what's that big flower? And she's like, it's a flower that makes perfume. You want to get a big huff of it? You want to stick your whole face in there?
And then Tori is like, wait a minute, I know who you guys are.
Because Dustin is about to be like, heck yeah, I do. Let me get a big huff off that flower. And he leans
in. Put my head inside the flower. Nothing bad will happen to me.
He goes to lean in, and Tori like grab, like does that like not mom arm, but like hand on the chest. Like, no, hold on. I know who you two are. Then the flower farts at them and knocks them out.
Just like Dustin after ninja training.
And so they're unconscious now. And then Mara says something like, I thought that would have been, I don't even remember what she says. She says something relatively innocuous. And Capri's like, you shouldn't say anything. You're an idiot. Shut up.
God, what did she say? Oh, she said, like, sleep tight. Don't let evil aliens take over your planet.
Yeah. And then and Capri's like, shut up, you idiot.
Yeah, Capri's like, shut your stupid mouth or I'm going to feed you to the flower. You dumb, stupid idiot. Don't ever talk again.
It's like, wow.
It's like, Capri.
Way too mean, Capri.
You don't have to go 100 miles an hour all the time. Sometimes you can just do a cool 35.
Yeah. Sometimes you can drive 55. All right, Sammy Hagar. this also, I just remembered that earlier when they're given the seeds to Sensei, you know how they're from New Zealand and they're pretending to be Californians, and sometimes Tori's accent just like Athena from Zeus's head springs forth and you can't stop it. Here's a fun word she cannot say without an accent. Ben. Because she's like, how's he been? But with an Australian accent.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bless your heart.
You're trying.
There's just some words that you cannot, like, there was an episode of Warehouse 13, which is a show on Sci-Fi a long time ago. They switched bodies. The main guy and girl switched bodies. And so they were like pretending to be each other. And for the most part, it was fine, right? Except for the fact that the actress who played, I think her name is Joanna. I don't know if that's the character or the actress. Can't say strength. She just can't say the word strength. She says strength, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is like a relatively common pronunciation. It's not like unheard of, right? But
right.
The other guy can say strength. But when they switched bodies, she said strength. And she also said it before she switched bodies. And I was like, that's the one thing that took me out of it. That's where you got me, is this one weird pronunciation. It's like if I switched bodies with someone and still called it a roof, like you'd be like, that's Jake, obviously. Anyway, so they the Flirty Flower walks up behind them now that they are knocked out and is like, I thought they were going to be much harder to take care of or something. And she's like, well, I'm going to go in the basement and make horny puns about flowers. So she goes into the basement.
I don't know why she's so horny. I guess it makes me more uncomfortable because it's just like a regular voice.
It's just a normal voice.
And she's just like, have you seen these vines? And it's like,
It's also really weird because she's talking to the flowers that she's growing in the basement as if they are her babies, but also her lovers. So
hey,
a lot of mixed messages going on in plant world.
I don't know.
I don't know how plants are.
Yeah, I don't know what the rules are for plants. You know,
I'm not a Goosebumps doctor. I don't know about plants. But she's just like, yeah, your nasty, dirty thorns are going to take over the world. And it's like, okay. Okay, Flirty Flower. Thanks for coming. We do get a vision of plants like bursting out and taking over the world. Like they does every time there's a plant monster that takes over the world, we always get a vision of it encapsulating the city in vines or whatever. Then we cut to Cam in the woods, and Shane is also in the woods, and he hides behind a tree so Cam doesn't see him. And then Cam like walks over, and it's, they said it's a volcanic spring, but I know a creek when I see one.
This is at most like a bog in the forest. Yeah.
There's like a downed tree that Cam is sitting on, and he has like a big old Nalgene bottle, and he lowers it down on a string and gets a bunch of water, good mineral water for the plants that they, to, you know, the flavor the plants crave. And he pulls it back up and he puts it in his bag, and then Zackies attack him. And while this, right before this happens, we see Shane upside down, crawling down a tree.
Shane is following him. There's a couple shots of him following through the woods, and he's like being stealthy.
He is a ninja, you
he
see.
He is making a lot of leaf noise.
Yes.
That they didn't cut out. So he's just like crunching leaves and jumping off of like creaky logs.
Well, Cam's not classically trained as a ninja, you see.
Right.
We will find out that dude can throw down.
I mean, he's at least modernly trained as a ninja.
Yes.
He fights well in the new style.
In the new style. Because Zackies attack him, and he...
Are you making a very good Ninja Turtle joke? I was doing Shredder. It's fine.
I didn't mean to cut off your very good Ninja
That's
Turtle
okay.
joke. If you want to,
it's
you
okay.
Want to finish
no,
it?
No, Shane's upside down on the trunk of a tree. There's more important things to talk about.
And he just kind of watches the fight happen for a second. Because the first thing, Cam's on this log. And then all of a sudden, two Zackies are on the log with him. And he just ninja leaps. Right. Like, he does, like, a float.
They show up on the log and they're just like, sup, we're here for your water, man.
Give me your water bottle.
I know this whole bog is made out of it, but we need your water bottle.
Well, maybe they don't have anything to carry. They're not prepared, so they don't want to just cup their hands and carry that back to space or to the park or wherever.
When they get there, there's just a tiny little sip in the bottom.
And they're like, oh no, here you go, drink up, my thirsty plant baby. Then he starts fighting them, and he gets cornered because there's like a bunch of them. Also, here's the thing I learned about the Kelzaks today. They kind of make putty noises.
They have a noise. I can't remember exactly what it was.
It's like a screamy putty noise. It's like screamier than like a... But it's like... like that, kind of.
So Cam starts fighting them and like ninja kicking them.
Yeah, and he's like beating them up until there's like a lot of them.
I did notice in some of the closer up shots during... when it was just Cam, because Shane is about to frog jump off the tree in a minute.
Yeah, yep.
And help. But every time he would like throw a punch, because the camera's like down a little bit at like a 3/4 angle.
Yeah.
So he would throw a punch, but he would put his not punching arm like over his face because it was a stunt actor.
Okay.
So he kept like purposely just blocking his face so you couldn't see it.
The regular actor, Jason Chan, I think it is. Did do some stunts, like in the wider shots you can see him.
He definitely did. There's, after this, when he's back in the ninja ops, he does, like, a really good karate kick.
Yeah.
It's definitely just him, because, I mean, you can see him, he's right there.
Yeah. So Shane jumps in, we go to commercial, we come back, and he's like, what are you doing here? He's like, what are you doing here, Cam? And he's like, are you going to tell on me? And Cam's like, or Shane's like, no. And then they just start fighting Zackies together. And it's like pretty good bonding. Like, it's like them just like bonding for a second.
Their relationship is like more like a shitty brothers.
Yeah.
But like they do care about each other, but they're always like ribbing each other.
Yeah. But I'm excited to see this go forward because like it. Like, I didn't realize that, like, oh, Cam can leave. And Cam can do stuff.
Yeah, he's not trapped in there.
He's not just guy at the computer, which is pretty cool.
He wasn't kidnapped by his guinea pig dad and locked to a computer to code swords and, like, hammers and stuff.
Makes, you know, space hammers and whatever. So they beat up all the Zackies, and Shane's like, where'd you learn how to do any of that? And he's like, I grew up in ninja school. You do the math. And he's like, ah. You got me there.
Yeah, checks out. The ninja math checks out.
Then we cut to Tori and Dustin, and they wake up, and their arms are tied to a table by vines, presumably horny vines from...
Oh, no. I don't want them tied up by horny vines. Take that back.
Flirty flowers. Look, no. I'm sorry, Josh. This is the information presented with me.
I can't accept that. The vines are not horny. They're just babies.
The vines might not be horny, but they come from a horny flower. Okay, their destiny is clear.
You can see at one point after they wake up and they're talking a little bit, like, Tori is struggling to keep her hands in the vine.
She is much shorter than Dustin, so her arms have to be stretched much higher than his.
And they, like, at one point, you're just like, oh, she definitely just slipped out. She could have just got out of that.
Yeah, she's just, like, kind of holding on to the vine so her hands don't fall down. She's like, Dustin, get up. We're tied up. Like, this is bad. And he's like, oh, what are we going to do? And she's like, hold on. I know. And then she looks over and there's like sunlight coming down from an open window. And you remember how she has hydrokinesis?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it can affect water with her mind.
She's a waterbender. She's clearly established.
Yep. Well, she does that and makes a little spurt of water shoot up into the sunlight and refract that into a laser. To cut the vine.
Except
it does burn Dustin's wrist at first.
It burns Dustin. And he's like, oh, that's hot. Stop it. And Tori's like, this is fake. So that had to be like in the script. That had to be like what they were shooting. But Tori's laugh is so genuine. Like it was an actual like mishap. Like, oops.
Yeah. It's like, sorry, let me try again. We cut away from there for a second. I don't remember why, but we come back and she just, maybe we didn't cut away. Maybe he just burned his wrist for a second and I paused so I could write it down. And yeah, that my brain replaced that with cutting away.
She burns him and then she's like, let me make a slight adjustment. And she raises it like a little lower.
She raises it lower?
Well, because she dropped it again to tell Dustin, I'm sorry, I burned you. And she had to raise the water.
So she does raise it, but lower. Yes.
But lower than the first time to refract it at like a more even angle.
Yeah. So it cuts that out and then they start crawling away. And we cut back to Ninja Ops, and Sensei is reading Cam and Shane the Riot Act, most specifically Cam, who I think just... Shane just leaves?
Yeah.
He's like, well, I'm not in trouble for once, so I'm going to go now.
Yeah, he's like, oh, good luck with this one. And then just walks off.
Then just leaves. So Cam is, he's got like a bottle of the good mineral water in like a flask. He's got some water in a flask. And then the two seeds are in like a cup on a paper towel and they're behind him. So he turns around to be like, Dad, I want to be a Power Ranger. While this is happening, the vine.
Shane is still there because he's not going to leave until he goes to help later.
Oh, right? You're right. So he's just like,
he's just playing a video game on the computer. So he loaded up Solitaire on Cam's computer.
He's playing Blaster Ball Wild, I guess.
Minesweeper.
So while Shane is getting in trouble, a little vine pops out of the seed and like slinks its way over to the good mineral water and starts slurping that bad boy up. And Cam's like, I can do more than just sit at a computer. Like I can do more than that. And Sensei's like, because you want to be a Power Ranger? Is that how you could do more? And Cam's like, well, yeah.
Yeah, now that
since
you said
brought it up.
If that's an option, you know I do.
Yeah, who wouldn't? Who, given the option between not being a Power Ranger and being a Power Ranger, would opt for not?
And also the shot of Cam. This is really weird because he's talking to his dad, but his dad is off camera. Like, they're not on camera at the same time.
No, he's a guinea pig.
And Cam is framed so that this picture of a woman next to him is, like, clearly almost the focal point so that you look at it. Yeah, because he's on this, like, dark mechanical background, and here's this picture in this, like, wooden frame that just, like, bursts out of the scene and is like, look over here.
There's like a light directly on it. That I'm assuming is his mom.
Well, it is because Sensei is like, your mom. And then it zooms in on the picture.
Yeah.
He doesn't say your mom at Cam.
Yeah. He says, sucks.
He says, I promised your mom that I wouldn't let you be a Power Ranger, I guess.
Yeah. He says, when she got sick, I promised her that I would always protect you. And, that means you can't be a Power Ranger. And Cam's like, that is bullshit, actually, Dad, because she would have wanted me to, like, fulfill my potential. And he's like, look, my hands are tied. I made a promise. Yeah. So yeah. I can't. Cam's and neither like, can you now.
Cam's like, Mom would have wanted that for me. And his dad is just like, we'll never know because she's dead.
He literally says, well, we will never know that. That is cold as a coffin nail, Sensei. Jeepers. So then they're not necessarily fighting, but they are like heatedly disagreeing. And so Cam just is like, well, I'm gonna leave now because I'm not a guinea pig. And he just walks away. Cut to Tori and Dustin. They are crawling around the botanical garden, the greenhouse that they're in, trying to find a way out. They hear, is the guy's name Beltran? Did I hear that right?
It's like Belram or something.
Belram? It sounds like a name that is a fake name a monster would make that's like their monster name scrambled up or something.
Yeah.
You know
what's crazy? They don't only say it, they show it on his name tag.
is this like someone they know? Is this like a Power Rangers fan that was on the forums that got his name into Power Rangers?
Maybe.
Or something? So they go investigate. They see him upside down. Dustin grabs some bolt cutters they had nearby. I think they're like big garden shears, but they look like bolt cutters.
Dr. Belrab.
Belrab. What is that?
I don't know. What if I just Google Belrab?
It sounds like a clue. The name sounds like a clue. And it's not. And this guy just disappears in 1 minute.
What the heck? It's a drug.
Made out of plants?
Bellrab is an antipsychotic.
Okay. That might not be where it's from, but I don't know.
That's the only thing it is. It's nothing else.
Huh. I think it's scrambled up.
Oh, maybe. Barlub.
Barbell?
Barbell. Dr. Barbell.
Anyway, Dr. Bellrab, Dustin cuts him down and he lands on his noggin, I guess. And he's like, the horny flower's doing experiments in my basement. Then they're like, whoa, man, you don't need to say those words in that order.
Stay out of the basement. I told you. It's just, you know? Except the dad is actually a plant monster in that book. And then I think they all become plant monsters at the end.
So it's about plant monsters even?
Yeah.
This guy's from Goosebumps.
Yeah. Stay out of the basement is these kids' father spends long hours down in the basement doing experiments, and it turns out he's just like growing weird plant monsters down there, and then he turns into one, or one kills him and takes his spot or something like that.
Okay.
It's one of the early Goosebumps books where they were like, we could kill dads and turn kids into plant monsters at the end and end on like a spooky note instead of a final, note.
You have to fix it at the end kind of thing. So they're like, well, get out of here. And they go down into the basement, and Flirty Flower interrupts them. And she's like, well, now you're in my sex basement or whatever. And they're like, no, thank you. And they morph. And then the vines just grab them up and just waggle them around in the air.
Do they morph to the outside or do they stay in the basement?
They get punched outside through a wall, I think.
Okay.
Because they call for help, and Cam's like, Shane, you gotta go.
Well, I think Sensei tells Shane to go help them, and Cam is like, I could do it.
And he's like, no, you're a guy. This is a plant monster. You need to have some sort of Power Ranger.
Yeah, Shane's already a Power Ranger, and I already told you, your mom won't let you do it.
So Shane did leave, because Shane is at Storm Chargers when he gets the call.
You're right. He had to go to work.
Does he work there now?
Yeah, because he sold something to somebody in the last episode.
I guess he just works there now.
Or he just, like, fills in for Dustin sometimes. I don't know. Kelly seems like she's just like, yeah, whatever. Here's $10. Cash some customers out.
Yeah. How long were you here? 4 hours? All right. Here's, like, $35. What's minimum wage in 2003?
Don't tell the government. It's probably still $7.25. I feel like it's been $7.25 since 1996.
I actually think you are... Well, it's been $7.25 for 10 years because it was $6.65 when I started at Walmart.
Okay. Yikes.
Yeah, and they raised the minimum you could pay people, so I got a raise.
Yeah. So Kelly's just like, here's $10. Don't tell the government.
just cash out
some people. So he runs to the fitting room and, like, shoves a woman out of the way.
Yeah. And he's behind the curtain. And he morphs, and all you see is his hand come up?
You see his hand come up over the top, and then when he punches it forward, the curtain poops out.
It's very good. Then he morphs. He goes to help the others. He gets caught by something, like a big vine, like, comes down and whaps him on the face or something. And he's like, Cam, I need some help.
He rounds the corner and runs to help them. And Tori, who is completely wrapped up in a vine, just being swung around, is like, oh, hey, Shane, and, like, waves at him.
Yeah. She's like, what's up? What's up, guy? They are outside the building now. So this thing, like, punched them, had to have, like, burst them through a wall or something. Shane gets, like, attacked by the plant. He's like, Cam, I need some help. And Cam's like, all right, I'm going to email you a sword.
Yeah. He says something like,
Because his sword isn't working. His sword is not cutting.
Yeah. He's like, I've been coding some new alloy to put in your sword. Let me email it to you.
And he's like, cool. And then he emails it to him, and his sword gets stronger. Okay.
Sure. Look, I'll buy it.
Yeah, you know, it's whatever. Power Rangers. They also have a giant robot that can't physically uphold its own weight. But, like, we don't worry about that.
And it shrinks for a minute.
And sometimes it gets littler. It gets lighter. He gets a stronger sword, and he cuts the plant, and I don't know what the hell autocorrect decided this sentence was.
Oh, he wasn't trying to hit it with his sword. He was shooting it with the Hawk Blaster.
Oh, and it did nothing.
And that did nothing. The Hawk Blaster, it does nothing.
Okay, I figured out what this is supposed to say. I abbreviated Ninja Ops, so it's just all caps, no. And I was like, what? So I can't do that anymore or else I'll feel like an idiot. So he kills the plant because while this is happening, the plant at Ninja Ops attacks Sensei and Cam and like wraps Sensei up because he's a guinea pig. It's very small and easy to grab. And Cam is like, he does a cool kick to it.
Yeah, it just like reaches around Cam and grabs a Sensei and he's like, ah!
Cam does like a cool spin kick and then he goes back to typing and like the plant's trying to get him, but it's not committing, so it's just like reaching out. He's like, get out of here.
It's like teasing, like, I'll go get you.
I'm gonna get you. He's like, get away from me.
As soon as you tell the Power Rangers what they gotta do, I'm gonna get you.
So he's like, I'm gonna email you a stronger sword. He slaps the big button in the middle that's like the golf game at Michi's Pizza.
Yeah.
That you spin the golf ball. So he slaps that, and that emails the sword. So he's like, you need to kill the main plant. So then the babies, like this one, will die, like Power Rangers, right?
Yeah, if you kill the big monster, the little monsters die with it.
Yeah, obviously. So that's what he says. He kills the big plant and the vine dies at Ninja Ops. And Flirty Flower's like, oh, this is bumming me out. And then they shoot her with the Storm Striker and blow her up.
When Shane's sword was upgraded and emailed back to him.
Yes.
He did that flying kick push that he did the last episode, but instead of shooting her in the face, he was just chopping her up with his new hard sword.
Yeah, it kicks ass.
That is such a weirdly goofy and awesome move at the same time, because he's just, his footage is just straight out.
Yeah, he's using air powers.
And he's either shooting the crap out of you or slashing the crap out of you.
So Flirty Flower blows up, and then she says something along the lines of like, woo, this is a rough night, like a party girl kind of line. I forget what it was.
Yeah, it's right before she gets shot, she's like staggering and she's like, man, what a walk of shame I'm doing.
Yeah, something.
She's smoking a cigarette after Shane kicked her because she's like, she's into that.
They kill her for that, like you do, I guess.
Yeah.
But I was just like, what vibe are they going for with this regular voice monster lady?
Sorority girl.
But
a flower monster.
But a flower? I think you might be right. There should have been a float they could have made. We cut up to Lothar, who's like, whose plan was the flower monster? And everyone's pointing at each other, and he just yells. He's just so mad. He's like, ah! They send an AOL instant message to Flirty Flower. She grows. They get the Zords. They go into lightning mode, which is the skinny mode, so it can move quicker. They have a new attack that is like a carnival ride. And I don't know what else to call it. It's like a big hula hoop that you stand in and you hold the sides and roll sideways.
Yeah. Like one ring in a gyroscope.
Yeah.
Although I don't know if it's called a gyroscope, if it's the one that a person gets in and spins around in every direction.
I have no idea. It's been so long since I've been to a carnival.
There's a weird, when their Zords are like waking up and getting together, there's a weird like butt rock loop.
I was going to mention the terrible butt rock, the nasty butt rock that's going on.
It's like butt rock loop 7.
I literally wrote down nasty butt rock.
And we've not heard this before, right?
No.
I was like, isn't this when like the theme song should be playing?
It kicks in. They do the hula hoop ride attack, and then they go back to normal mode, and they pull out the serpent sword. And when they do that, the butt rock stops, and they're like, go Power Rangers, go! Like, that kicks in, which is significantly better.
I don't know what that butt rock was.
I don't know.
That butt rock is what they're going to put on the DVD release of WrestleMania 26 over The Undertaker's Metallica song.
That's the worst part of the Boneyard match, is he didn't come out to Roland.
Yeah, but man, that Metallica song was so tacky, Undertaker. I was into it.
Yeah, man. That match ruled. That match is so good.
Yeah.
I like Mark Calloway just being like, an actual badass and not being like, I'm the dark man that's coming to take you to hell place.
My one problem with that match is the Undertaker's old man Jenkins wheezing.
Because he's old, man.
For the whole back half of it, he's just like,
he's old. He beat up like 40 druids. What are you going to do, man?
Oh, God.
I mean, look, he's very old. He's been wrestling for 30 years just in the WWE.
Yeah, that's crazy.
There was a point where he was thinking about jumping ship.
But if he did that, we wouldn't have got to see him do actual magic against AJ Styles in a cemetery. So
where he teleports behind him and puts Styles into his own grave.
I know that match probably cost them a lot of money because apparently it took them like 8 hours to film it and they had to like build the set over a weekend or something.
I don't think it cost them too much money comparatively.
They need to make a Saturday morning wrestling show that it's just everything is like this.
Absolutely. This is just what wrestling should be until they can do wrestling again. Do you watch Firefly Funhouse yet?
No, I just started night two. I've only seen Charlotte and Rhea so far.
Pretty good. Weirdly quiet.
It was a really good match. To no ovation.
To nobody. Yeah. Anyway, Firefly Funhouse is maybe the best thing WWE has ever done, ever.
Boneyard had background music, and what a difference that makes.
You know what else had background music? Firefly Funhouse. Yeah. All you need is just to put something there. Maybe you could get this butt rock song from Power Rangers Ninja Storm. Anything.
I'm sure it's free on a butt rock website somewhere.
on buttrockmp3s.com.
No, that's the premium site. You want to go to freebuttrockmp3s.com.
Yes, that's the one. Anyway, so they do the blizzard attack, and then they pull out the serpent sword, and then they do a triple strike, and they kill her. Once the butt rock stops, they can finally finish the fight. Then we go to commercial, we come back, they are at Ninja Ops, and Sensei's like, you are all punished, 10-mile jog. And they're like, all right, beans. Yeah,
when he says it, he emphasizes, like, everybody run 10 miles.
So the Power Rangers turn around, Tori's like, but it's cold.
And Cam, like, Cam is just like, you stupid idiots, skateboarding at night like some hooligans.
Like a bunch of jerk hooligans. And it's like, Cam, like, I said everyone.
Everybody.
Get your suspiciously color-coded ass out there too, Cam.
But he says something. Oh, he's like, you have to also run the 10 miles. And Cam is like, oh, man.
He's like, but what did I do? And he's like, are you kidding me, Cam?
But then he's like, when you get back, we'll start your training. And Cam is like, what?
Oh, yeah. He also says, Cam's like, how old do you have to be before you can just do whatever you want? And since it's like, no one has ever lived that long, which I think is very good.
It is a very good line.
But then he's like, yeah, when you get back, you will start your training. Cam's like, wait, for real? Yes. And then he goes to do a jog, and then the episode ends. And Josh,
yeah,
you started.
I did.
I get to pick the best. I'm going to say the best is Mara and Capri's disguises.
They were very good.
They legit fooled me for a second.
Yep.
Which is something Jesse and James never did. Not even once.
No. They just put a mustache on. Or one time James put boobs on.
Well, several times James put boobs in. Right. That was a go-to of his.
But he didn't change his face at all. So it was just James, but with boobs. No. And there was one time where he mocked Misty for how little her boobs were compared to his big boobs. And that episode, it was banned in America.
Yeah, that episode caused seizures. So it is thrown in the garbage.
I guess that's the best. I'll say their disguises is the best.
Supplemental best, a runner-up best to them filming a skateboard video, which is the truest to life thing I've ever seen in Power Rangers, at least for my high school experience.
Right, because they're just like, it's like 9 o'clock at night, right? It's dark out. It's like kid late, but not like real late. And shit, they're like lying in bed because Sensei is an old man and makes him go to bed at 9.
Like, let's sneak out and do skateboard videos. And Shane, like, hell yeah.
Yeah, Shane communicators Dustin is just like, hey, I've been working on a sweet trick. Come to meet me in the park.
I don't even remember what the trick he was trying to do is, because he never actually did it.
No, it just shows him skateboarding. And then he has to get on the communicator with Tori. And he's like, hey, could you come pick us up? Because you're the only one with a van.
You've got a car. If I skateboard in my yard, my mom will hear.
And Tori's like, well, I don't want to be lame, so I guess. But also, I don't want to.
I got homework I was trying to. Or I'll bring it with me. It's fine. So yeah, that's running up best. Worst, I'm going to say the worst is Professor Goosebumps, the botanist.
Yeah, I was going to say not just him, but his cartoonishly large corns. And there's also cartoonishly large peas at one point when they're in there. When Dustin is like, does he say my sister's a vegetarian?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, my sister's a vegetarian. She would love this place. And there's just a giant pea pod hanging above him.
I hope we get to meet Dustin's sister at some point.
And like, this season is goofy. But the cartoony stuff like this still stands out as like,
yeah,
definitely not from the same show.
Yeah. I mean, because it is a very goofy show. And it's like very fun and like, there's disguises, and Tori got trapped in a camera after applying to a fashion shoot.
She got out by just making water and using that to ride out of it.
She summoned up a fountain under her. But, like, when there's, like, just this one square location that, like, well, this guy grows big vegetables and is weird. It's like, okay, but who's this for? What show is this supposed to go to? So I'm going to say he's the worst.
Yeah.
MVP is Cam.
It's a little Cam. I'm tempted to give it to Tori again, just because her interactions with the other Rangers are so good.
They are.
But I'm going to give it to Cam, because this is kind of a Cam episode.
Yeah. And he got to like have motivations and wants and hopes and dreams and stuff. And like can do karate very well, which is good. Like just, and it's like surprising, but in a way that makes sense.
And I believe he could have fought those Kelzaks off without Shane.
Yeah, it just would have taken a while because there was a lot of them.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm gonna give that to Cam. Now we need to rank the episode.
I don't think it's a particularly high one, and I'm only saying that because all of the episodes are pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's bare minimum. It is not the bottom.
No.
The bottom is there's no I in team, which is about Shane being mad
than Shane being a diaper baby for 20 minutes.
Yeah, he's just a diaper baby because he's the leader and doesn't trust anybody because now there's a lot of responsibility on just him, he thinks. It was not the best episode. But is it better than the first episode, Prelude to a Storm?
I don't know. Maybe.
I think maybe it was.
I think I can give it to it.
Above that is Looming Thunder, which was that Dustin spotlight where he was doing dirt bike stuff and lost his backpack.
I think it's better than that, too.
I'll tell you what's not better than the Thunder Strangers three-parter.
No,
then.
Absolutely not. Nope.
All right, so coming in at number three.
Well, I was wrong. It's in the top half.
Nowhere to Grow. All right, and that's going to do it for us for today. Reminder, this is the only episode this week. There's only going to be one episode next week, because the week after that, there's going to be four episodes, because we're idiots. And Ninja Storm saw us coming.
Yep.
So, next week, we will watch Snippet Good.
No.
Yes, we will. But until then,
may the power protect you.
Snip it good.
Snip it real good.
Bam, bam, bam.